Hi, everyone. Welcome to Second Wind Women. I'm here with Dr. Sarah Love. She is a naturopathic physician, and she's the founder of Lichen and Leaf, which is an herbal tea company that has a mission to craft international teas that celebrate nature and invite moments of joy, grounding, and connection. Dr. Sarah enjoys spending as much time as possible outdoors in nature, hiking or running, and she is an ultra marathoner, which is very impressive. And when she's not outdoors, she can be found in the kitchen working on new tea blends or baking using unusual ingredients sourced from the local farmer's market. I'd like to hear what some of those are. She is married to the fantastic keeper of cast iron pans.
Okay.
And the mom of an amazing adult son, a temperamental sourdough starter. You're going to have to tell us the name of your starter, and a clingy cat. So welcome, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Can you give us a little bit of your background about how you were you, did you have another profession before you were a naturopath?
Yeah. So actually, again, I lived in Kansas City for a while when I was in college. And when I graduated college, had a couple of different routes to go in Kansas City. And one was at a independent pharmacy in Independence, Missouri, or one was at a rental car company. And I was like, you know what? Pharmacy sounds interesting. Healthcare sounds like a lot of fun. So that's kind of what I did before. And I did that in a lot of different environments, including hospital and retail and working in the hospital out here in Oregon. When I got out to Oregon, I was like, you know, I knew I wanted to continue my healthcare journey and go into grad school, but I didn't know what path that was going to look like.
So you were a pharmacist?
I was a pharmacy technician. Right.
Okay. I don't know the difference.
Yeah. About 6 years of schooling.
Oh, okay. More to be a pharmacist.
Correct.
Technician is like the junior. Okay. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt
you.
Yeah.
No, totally. It's not exactly a junior because we're our own career track, but we definitely assist the pharmacist, but we can have our own specific role as well in terms of the healthcare. But yeah, we are a primary support to them, and it's a team effort in healthcare. Everybody is required. So, but yeah, that's kind of what that was. So yeah, so I was working in the ICU out here because we had a specific pharmacy in the ICU hospital, and just like, you know, I want to learn more about chronic disease management and how we can prevent things and how we can mitigate certain outcomes that I was seeing a lot of, and discovered naturopathic medicine. And there's a school here in Portland and haven't looked back. And that's just kind of where I've been. I love the philosophy of naturopathic medicine, the, you know, learning how the body can heal itself, learning how, you know, nature, treating the whole system and all of the beautiful complexities, and then discovering a ton of tools for our toolbox. So if I need to prescribe medications, I can. If I need to prescribe herbs or food or movement or, you know, any number of things, I've got a lot more tools in my toolbox. So that's where I got into naturopathic medicine. It's just kind of a long journey of looking at a lot of different things, essentially.
Was there like a moment, like how did you find the naturopathic school, especially being so ingrained like in the medical establishment, right?
Yeah, for sure. So good question. In Portland, it's a lot easier than in a lot of places, I will say, because there is a school here. And just looking, I mean, we've got naturopathic medical students in our safety net clinics. So when we first moved out here, we didn't have health insurance set up yet. And my husband had an issue. So he went to the safety net clinic and he was seen by a naturopathic medical student. Right. So that, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, we're kind of enmeshed in the system out here. So it's a little easier to discover than, say, when I was in Kansas City. But that said, even the pharmacist I worked with when I was in Independence, he was very big into supplements and food as medicine. So I just, it's everywhere, just trying to see what fits right. And then like, I can do this and I don't even have to move. So this is great.
That is great. That is great. Tell me about a little bit about, I don't know if it's actually a transition or a supplement, your tea business as it relates to your naturopathic training.
Yeah. So I don't know that it's, I'm going to kind of pivot and say it's not really a supplement. It's not really a transition. It's more of a, and I don't quite know the word for it. It might come to me. So we
like
learned about herbal.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. But we learn a lot about herbal medicine as part of our schooling. That's one of our requirements. We are tested on it multiple times throughout our careers of us being students and before we were able to be licensed. So I knew a lot about the herbs and I would recommend them on occasion as a student. And this has been like 20 years now. And then I just kind of forgot about them. I really went into food, nutrition, and other lifestyle medicine things. But what I noticed in the last 5 years, and this is kind of post-pandemic, folks are really stressed out and they're tight, just really wound tight. And when you're in that, what we call a sympathetic state of just fight or flight and constant stress, you're not able to absorb nutrients much. So no matter how good your diet is, you're just not incorporating all of that essential nutrition from food that you might otherwise if you're relaxed. So I started seeing that more and more. So I'm like, you know what? I should go back to my roots, go back to the foundations and hit those herbal teas again. So I started recommending a lot of herbal teas for my patients and they started getting better. And then as I was diving more into it and recommending specific herbs for their teas and realizing what was available commercially might have some ingredients in it that I did not want them to have. So I kind of created my no list of ingredients. And then the realization came like, you know, I just need to create my own teas because although what was out there was great, patients were improving from it. I saw a need for specific tea products that were going to be a little gentler for folks who were so stressed out and help them relax and be able to incorporate all that good food and nutrition.
Yeah, you said something about people were really sensitive when we talked earlier, right? And that the teas were like a gentler way to supplement them on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Are these, so in addition, I assume you have like just standard ones you do, but do you also do custom blends for different?
I don't at this time. Yeah, it would be great if I could do that in the future. Right now, just because I'm still in startup mode, I've got my 5 specific blends that I've got. That said, if there is a provider out there that would want a custom blend or somebody else that would want a custom blend, I'm sure I could work with them on that. But I did create these intentionally to come up with kind of like my archetypal patients. Like, here's the kind of groups of patients that I'm seeing. Right. What tea blends could those specific buckets use? And that's where I'm at now. Customization gets really challenging and it's kind of cost prohibitive at this time.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah,
I would imagine. So why did you name it? I mean, I like the name lichen and leaf. Yeah. I think that's really cool, especially because like is the first syllable. I think that's really cute. So what was the inspiration behind the name?
Yeah, so lichen are kind of commensal organizations. Sorry, I'm getting all my words mixed up. Lichen are commensal little plant lives essentially, but they live in the forest. So I kind of like that because I kind of like the teas being part of a synergistic part of a just comprehensive treatment plan, whether it's that includes diet, nutrition, and everything else. So, and I think lichen are beautiful little organisms that I just love going and hiking around when I'm at Mount Hood. So that's where I came up with lichen. And then of course, leaf being tea leaves that I'm using a lot of plant leaves as part of this. And I just like the alliteration.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really cute. I could almost see a logo. Just from the name. So I wanted to pivot a little bit and ask you about ultra marathoning, how that fits into your whole journey. Did that just happen after you got involved in naturopathy? Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I've always been a runner. I ran in high school and then gave that up for a while. And when I moved out to Portland, I was super busy with school and work and raising family. And then just kind of, I did a lot of hiking, but then wanted to get back into running. And out here in Oregon, we've just got ubiquitous trails everywhere. I can just go out my doorstep and within a mile or so, I'm on trails and it's just great. So started like, hey, you know, what's the next challenge I can do? It's like, oh, there's this marathon open. I could do an ultra marathon too. So that's just kind of where I went. I just love the trails. And it's a great community where, I mean, basically you just spend all day out in the trails, running, high-fiving people, and just enjoying nature. I'm not fast by any means. I just do this for fun.
Yeah, I don't know about ultra. I knew some guy once who did ultra marathoning and he ran across the Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to count my calories because I have to restrict them. It was,
Yeah, those, I don't do those races. Those are, that's crazy. I mad respect for those people who do that. Mine are much more normal, as it were. I'm only doing 32 miles, you know?
32 miles? Oh, that's a lot. So do you think that was part of like the whole, your whole forest vibe being out there. It was part of your whole lichen and leaf.
Oh, for sure.
Inspiration. Yeah.
Like anytime I can get on the trails, out in the mountains, waterfalls, the whole bit, I'm outside.
Cool. So you had something in your questions about it being challenging to accept help from others.
Yeah. That's a fascinating concept. So, you know, there's a lot of toxic industries out there, and I was in healthcare for over 25 years, and there are definitely a lot of supportive people, especially when I was working in the hospital, so much support from coworkers and all of that. But then when you're in just kind of healthcare as a naturopathic doctor and a provider, it's tough because it can be pretty competitive and just, it's not always a good vibe. So I just kind of got used to that, being kind of in competition with my colleagues, and I just never liked that. And that's never their intention. Their intention is always to help you out, but it's not the most helpful of industries. And I've had a lot of toxic employers since I've been in healthcare, and it's not been the most pleasant experience. There's been a lot of lows in some of those highs. So transitioning to a completely different industry, being food manufacturing and working in that space, it's been eye-opening because people are so open to help you. And in the entrepreneurial world, like there's one group that I'm in, and one of their core values is helping others first. And we get in our meetings, are like, okay, what's a problem we're going to solve? Let's group think this, let's solve it. And I'm like, wow, it's different just because of how open it is compared to my workplaces and situations in the past. So it's just been fascinating, and being like, these people really do want to help me. This is weird and great and awesome. And I know. Yeah. Like yesterday was a kitchen day for me, getting ready for some upcoming vendor fairs and making my teas. And it's a commissary kitchen. So there's a few other people there. We're all talking. We're like, okay, hey, where are you going to be vending? Hey, did you hear about this? Hey, do you know who's the buyer for this market? You know, it's so collaborative and beautiful, and I'm really enjoying it, but it's taken me a bit to embrace it just because I have had so many toxic employment and workplace situations in the near past.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's part of why I'm so committed to working with small businesses, because I think the bigger the hierarchy is, the more opportunity there is for it to be toxic, right? I mean, I was really involved with the startup community in Boulder for many, many years. I could call anybody. I could call the guy who ran the accelerator who gave out like $2 million in funding every 6 months and be like, hey, you want to have coffee? And he would say, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. When you find those communities, you got to hold tight to them. So I've been very blessed in the Portland area. There's a huge makers community, especially in the food environment, that has been truly embracing. And it's been beautiful.
Hi, it's Karen. I wanted to remind you guys to go to secondwindwomen.com/community-offers to see all the offers from our guests for free meetups, discounts on products, consults, etc. So do check that out. And don't forget that we are here to support you. We can help you with Google Ads. We can help you with websites. We can help you with Facebook and Instagram ads. We can help you with Google reviews. There's so many digital ways we can support your business, and we're happy to help. Just reach out to me and my team. Have you needed, so in your kind of transition into becoming a more product-based business instead of a service-based business, have there been any skills that you've needed to learn in that transition?
I wouldn't say skills that I've needed to learn. It's just been honing and being better about selling things. I got to be honest, it's easier to sell products than services. It is.
Yeah.
You've got an absolute thing here. I can sample it. Selling services is a lot.
Do you want it? No? Okay, goodbye.
That's right. It. Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot easier to sell that over services. So that's been nice. Yeah. I've had to learn a different industry with different regulations. So that's, you know, instead of working in healthcare with all of those regulations, food regulations and food manufacturing and learning all of that. So those skills I've had to learn. But in terms of other skills, I mean, there's a lot of overlap. I mean, customer service is going to be the same in a service industry versus products. Selling is going to be the same. It's just a different thing, a product versus a service. That's right. All. And I mean, the other challenge that I'm working on now is marketing is a little different. So figuring that out and coming up with what is my pitch? What is my, you know, fan experience and how do I do that? And the other thing that I'm working on now is being able to present, because if I'm going to look for investors in 2026, that's a skill that I've got to improve. Whereas as a service provider, we're not, that's just not a skill we need.
No. No, yeah, not at all. So do you rent a commercial, do you have to rent a commercial kitchen in order to do your blends?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Our commissary kitchen.
That's probably, is that your biggest, do you think that's the biggest challenge or you think it's the packaging or just really sales and outreach?
Just, again, learning a new industry, learning the who's who in the industry, because again, I was in healthcare for over 25 years, the majority of that in Oregon. So I know a lot of healthcare people in Oregon. So just networking in a different, so instead of networking for service things, I'm networking for sales things. And who are the cafe owners? Who are the coffee shop owners? So there's been that. Finding a kitchen was a challenge, I'll be honest, because I don't have to have a commercial kitchen because, as you mentioned, I have a cat and you can't have a commercial kitchen in your house if you have cats, which I totally understand. So I had to find a commissary kitchen, but I don't need a lot of equipment. I really just need a table, electricity, and sinks, right?
Yeah.
So finding a kitchen that could meet my minimal needs, but that I could afford, that was a bit of a challenge. But in Portland, again, we've got such a huge community and I've got friends who are like, hey, check out my kitchen. So I'm like, okay. So I got in with their kitchen and yeah, now we're kitchen buddies.
That's cool. So you said you had like a lot of networking connections in the healthcare industry. How many of those people have been like at an event, like leaned over to you and said, so I got this problem?
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All the time. And I get it. I mean, access to healthcare is really tough. It's very expensive. I get it. But of course, I can't say anything. But like, well, you have to schedule an appointment. I mean, I've got right, my ethical and legal obligations too.
Right. Of course. But I mean, people that what I'm kind of implying is that people who are like fully ingrained in the allopathic medicine field that are like, you know, even though I have access to all this healthcare resources, they're not fulfilling what I need to be addressed.
Yeah, that's pretty common. And that is definitely where naturopathic medicine shines because we can look at it from a different lens and we can offer different therapies or at least try different things because we have access to those. Yeah.
So what's the intersection? I've always been curious about this between naturopathic medicine and chiropractic, because I know some chiropractors are like naturopath certified or what's the relationship there?
It really depends on the state. So in Oregon, we're completely separate. We have separate boards. We have separate licensure. We have separate degrees, right? And I don't know about, I mean, again, I've been in Oregon for so long. I don't know what the licensure looks like in other states. So I can't really speak to that, but I do know we do have naturopathic colleges that are distinct from chiropractic colleges and our licensure is different. How they're licensed in each particular state is different. So those relationships are different. But our education, our philosophy are distinct. And depending on the state, our scope of practice is going to be distinct and all of those.
So there's
things.
No like overlapping subjects or
there's
kind of curriculum?
Overlapping subjects. We all still have to learn anatomy and physiology, some biochemistry, all of those things. And some of our modalities intersect. But in terms of scope of practice and licensure, that's very state dependent.
Okay. Maybe that's why I don't understand.
Because you can't. No, it's, again, it's so different. Every state is completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you balance between being, you know, you're still actively providing services as a naturopath and you're also pursuing this food production path. How do you balance that?
I'm very good at scheduling.
Yeah.
Yes. Like Mondays and Wednesdays are my, you know, tea days. And Fridays I split tea and naturopath. And then Thursdays are like an all day, a patient care day. So that's kind of the basic skeleton of my calendar. Obviously, if patients need to be seen or if I've got labs to review, referrals, whatever, that will take priority. But essentially, that's kind of the framework of what my week looks like Monday through Friday. And then there's networking that goes in there as well. Like this evening, I'll be at a networking event. Tomorrow morning, I'll be at a networking event. Most of those, my patient care hours are like 10 to 6. So most networking events are done by 10. So I can still manage to get all my patient hours in.
Do you ever give talks on naturopathy or herbal tea medicine or...
I do, but it's been a while and I'm going to start getting back into that looking into 2026. Yes, that's one of my 26 goals.
Okay. And I did have a question about your husband and cast iron pots.
Oh my gosh. Well, cast iron is so important. It's a beautiful place. Well, again, one of the things that I've been seeing a lot in my patients is their iron levels are really low. And for whatever reason, there's multiple reasons for that. Iron supplements are hard to tolerate. So being able to
I've taken them before and I know exactly what you mean.
They're hard to tolerate. So if we can get it in a food source that doesn't necessarily have to be eating your beef, I mean, but cast iron pans are a great way to be able to get actual iron that's highly absorbable from into your food. So, and they do need taken care of. And we've got some beautiful cast iron pans that my husband babies and takes very good care of them so that I can get my iron.
That's sweet. Yeah, I saw a thing on social. I saw something that blew my mind on social today. Somebody was like, I found this cast iron pot in my grandparents' house. And it was a pot like this. And then it had a lid that looked like a dragon.
Oh my gosh, no way.
It had like holes for, and then all these people were writing, that's not a Dutch oven. Don't eat out of that. Which of course was. So what it is a thing that it's a humidifier. You put water in it and you put it on the plate.
Yep. I've seen those. Yep.
The dragon breath humidifies your house. Mm-hmm. But all these people were like, oh my God, don't cook with that. And I'm like, you know, if it's seasoned, if it's scrubbed down and seasoned well, you could totally cook with it.
Yeah, I would have to look at it. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Those humidifiers are great though.
I have never seen one like that before. And
that's cool.
It makes me want one really bad.
I know, because you get dry winters there in Kansas City for sure.
For sure. For sure. I mean, not compared to Colorado, but definitely.
No. Things I don't have to deal with here.
So so you're a mom, right? And so how does your being a mom interact with like your educational and career journey? Like, was that fully when you were in pharmacy tech mode, or was that like during your schooling for naturopathy or?
Yeah. So after I graduated university.
You just raise a child for like 5 years and they're done, right?
I know. They're totally done, right? It's crazy. Yeah, so after I graduated from UMKC and did not quite know where I wanted to go with my career, so I was like, I'm just going to take some time off. And we ended up moving around a bit, and we were actually in Scotland when I found out I was pregnant. So I had my baby over there, which was a lot of fun.
You did.
Well, I highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah. How interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me more about how that was different. This is a side. We'll definitely get back to the thread.
Yeah, so... Again, this has been, he's 24 now, so this has been quite a while, but it was lovely. It was very midwife led, very low intervention. The midwife's coming to your house and it was nice. And then going into the hospital and it's like, okay, it was funny. So I had some issues during labor and obstetricians, they're there, but they're not common because they're midwife hospitals. So we've got the two midwives and they're like, you've got to get this baby out. And the obstetrician was actually at the foot of the bed because, again, we're going through some distress. And these midwives are like, don't make us get her in here. This is our job to get this baby out. If we have to get the obstetrician in, that means we failed. So you're going to get this baby out.
Yes. It can be very compelling.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did. So it was an interesting experience. But then, yeah. And then after delivery, staying at the hospital, getting home, and then the midwives come to your house, you know, just to make sure everything's okay, making sure baby's feeding fine. Yeah, it was a really nice, supportive environment. So that was quite a bit different.
So you were living, so let me get this right. You were living in Scotland, or you were like there on vacation? You're like, I'm pregnant all day.
No, I was living there the whole time. I was working at a pharmacy. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Wow. Is that common for, I would imagine that licensing would be a little different over there.
Again, because I'm not a pharmacist, I was a technician, so it was a lot easier. It was no problem. Things are different now. I'm guessing I would not have as easy as a glide path to employment now. But then I was shocked. I was like, do I need to take any additional exams? And they're like, oh no, we'll recognize your American exams. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I got the job, and then like, oh yeah, and here you can drive and do these deliveries. And I'm like, are you serious? So they had me driving delivery vans
too. So what prompted that? Is that like a place you visit often, or you just, is a place you always wanted to visit, or what was
No,
that?
My husband was getting a PhD. Yeah.
Okay.
I was on a student visa.
Yeah. I just pictured you on vacation looking at the stick and going, I'm pregnant. Let's hang out here for a little while.
No. They were very generous back then, but not that generous.
Wow, that's cool. So I understand that you have something special for our listeners, that you something you wanted to offer.
Yes.
And what was that?
A 25% off your first order. So using the code podcast25 and 25% off your first order.
Okay. At lichenandleaf.com?
No, it's just lichenandleaf.com.
Lichenandleaf.
And then Instagram at lichenandleaf.
Perfect. That's amazing. I'm going to order some tea because I'm fresh out. As you can tell during our talk, I've been just, yeah.
But that's a cute mug. I love that.
It's a howler monkey.
So
with a mohawk. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. I just have kind
it's
of boring mug.
Zoo. Rainforest. Okay.
Of course.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it was so great to meet you, Sarah. And
yeah.
I want everyone to go check out your site. And it's such a cool story to move from being in like very traditional medicine to a more holistic approach.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. We have fun with our medicines here.
You have to. Having fun is therapeutic.
It is. That's one of our core values, is joy.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was so much fun. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. We'll see you next time on Second Wind Women. Let's make your second wind the strongest yet. Thanks.